came to pass that he spake unto Nephi, for Nephi was among the multitude, and he commanded them that they, and he commanded him that he should come forth. And Nephi arose and went forth, and bowed himself before the Lord, and he did kiss his feet. And the Lord commanded him that he should arise, and he arose and stood before him. And the Lord said unto him, I give unto you power that ye shall baptize this people when I am ascended into heaven. And again the Lord called others, and said unto them, likewise. And he gave unto them power to baptize. And he said unto them, on this wise shall ye baptize, and there shall be no disputations among you. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever repenteth of his sins through your words, and desire to be baptized in my name, on this wise shall ye baptize them. Behold, ye shall go down and stand in the water, and in my name shall ye baptize them. Now this is one piece of scripture that, as we read, there doesn't seem to be any problem understanding it. I don't know of anyone that disagrees with this particular passages. And it's such a shame that it isn't this plain in the Bible. And it's a shame that a lot of the scripture that we have isn't as plain as this scripture. And now, behold, these are the words which ye shall say, calling them by name, having authority given me of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Pretty plain, isn't it? And then shall ye immerse them in the water, and come forth out of the water. And after this manner shall ye baptize in my name. For behold, verily I say unto you, that the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost are one. And I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and the Father and I are one. And according as I have commanded you, thus shall ye baptize. And there shall be no disputations among you, as there hath hitherto been, neither shall there be disputations among you concerning my points of doctrine, as there hath hitherto been. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if everything that we had in the scripture was as plain as these few verses here? We wouldn't have to have many disputations. But they aren't quite all that plain. That's why we need to seek the scriptures often and seek the Lord for direction. For verily I say unto you, that he that hath the spirit of contention is not of me, but is of the devil, who is the father of contention. And he stirreth up the hearts of men to contend with anger one with another. And we can see this so many times, that if Satan can't lead us in one direction, he will try another direction. And then he'll try to get us to argue one with another. As we well know, a house divided against itself isn't going to stand very long. Behold, this is not my doctrine. This doctrine of contention isn't of the Lord, to stir up the hearts of men with anger one with another. But this is my doctrine, that such things should be done away. Behold, verily I say unto you, I will declare unto you my doctrine, and this is my doctrine, and this is the doctrine which the Father hath given unto me. Now his Father had given this unto him. So you can't get it from a much higher source than that. And he was giving it unto the people round about him there. He was giving it to the ministry and unto the multitude. And I bear record of the Father, and the Father bear record of me, and the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father and me. Now all three of them bear record of each other. And I bear record that the Father commandeth all men everywhere to repent and believe in me. And whosoever believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved. And they who shall inherit the kingdom of God. It says there that whoever believeth on him and is baptized shall be saved. But we know too that that isn't the end of the road when they're baptized, that they have got to continue on. Now, if you truly believe, nothing wavering, you're going to keep the commandments. And we know that we must keep the commandments until the end. And if we do this, we know that we will have the Spirit of the Lord to be with us to direct this. I want to drop down here to the 40th verse. All of this is good reading, but it would just be too lengthy to go over it all. And again I say unto you, you must repent and be baptized in my name and become as a little child, or you can in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. Now you know that a little child is meek and submissive, no malice in their heart, kindness. Now these are the things that we've got to have. We watch these little babes in arms here, and we know they're completely dependent upon their parents and look to them for everything that's good. And we have got to do the same thing. We have got to look to the Lord for that which we need. Now, he doesn't tell us we can sit around and wait for something to happen. He gives us a mind to use and the direction to go. But we have got to seek the Lord continually for his help. Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine, and whosoever buildeth upon this buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. And whosoever shall declare more or less than this, and establish it for my doctrine, the same cometh of evil, and is not built upon my rock, but buildeth upon a sandy foundation, and the gates of hell standeth open to receive such, when the floods come, and the winds beat upon them. Therefore go forth unto this people, and declare my words, and declare the words which I have spoken unto the ends of the earth. Now this kind of puts a load on our shoulders, doesn't it? Go forth unto this people. Now I don't think that that just means the ministry either. I think all of us is responsible for the church. Now it's the ministry's job to do the preaching and the baptizing, but I'll assure you that there is a lot of good that's got to be done by the members, by the young people, by the women. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto Nephi and to those who had been called, now the number of them who had been called to receive the power and authority to baptize were 12. And behold, he stretched forth his hand unto the multitude and cried to them, saying, Blessed are ye if ye shall give heed unto the words of these 12 whom I have chosen from among you to minister unto you and to be your servants. Notice here that they also are the servants of the people. Not above them, but servants. And unto them have I given power, that they may baptize you with water. And after that you are baptized with water, behold, I will baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Therefore, blessed are ye, if ye shall believe in me and be baptized, after that ye have seen me and know that I am, And again, more blessed are they who shall believe in your word, because that ye shall testify that ye have seen me and know that I am. Yea, blessed are they who shall believe in your words and come down in the depths of humility and be baptized, for they shall be visited with fire and with the Holy Ghost and shall receive a remission of their sins. These are Christ's words speaking to the people. Tell them of a few of the things that we should do and the benefits of it. We know that if we've done these things, that we're going to have him to be with us. And if we don't do them, he is not going to be there when we stand in need. I want to read a verse here out of Revelations, the second chapter. Again, this is quite a lengthy reading, but I just want to a couple of verses to kind of bring out a thought. In the second chapter of Revelations, I just want to read 10 and 11 here. And he'd been talking to them about the things that was going to happen and so on. And it says here, "Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Quite a promise there, isn't it? But we've got to listen and take heed unto what he's told us, and then go from there and go forth. I want to read a few verses now out of 3 Nephi in the 12th chapter. And this is quite a chapter. I think that, I know that all the ministry here this year has used this chapter, portions of it, several times. And I know of a surety that many people could take this chapter and preach a series of sermons with it, because there's a lot of good words in it. I'm going to begin with the 22nd verse of the 12th chapter of the second book of Nephi. "But behold, that great and abominable church, the whore of all the earth, must tremble to the earth, and great must be the fall thereof. For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must needs be stirred up unto repentance." Now that would be a wonderful thing, to stir those people up unto repentance, that they might come unto the Lord. "The kingdom of the devil must shake, and they that belong to it must needs be stirred up unto repentance, or the devil will grasp them with his everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish." Over here it mentioned that if you are angry one with another, or have contention one with another, it's of the devil. And this proves it here a little more. "For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men, and stir them up to anger against that which is good." And that is the way he's going to do it. He's going to stir them up to anger against that which is good. "And others will he pacify and lull them away into a carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prospereth, all is well." And we see this happening. We see people that have been a member of the church, that have allowed themselves to be led away. And they think that all is well in Zion. And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. Now, we're not going to see him out there too plain many times. He's going to come in a very subtle way. Sometimes he gets us to arguing one with another. Sometimes it's very easy. He just leads us to believe that we don't need to worry and all is going to turn out all right anyway. But he's going to carefully lead them away down to hell. One place it mentions the chains here, the everlasting chains. But you notice, too, it mentions the flaxen cord oftentimes. Just a very little bit at a time he will lead us away. And I've mentioned this several times, that with a very small line you can land a very large fish. And you can just keep pulling on it and you can do an awful lot. Now if you give a tremendous jerk, you're going to have nothing in just a split second. But you keep pulling and pulling and pulling and you can bring a tremendous fish to shore. Because it'll give out. And you don't have to. You can just keep cranking and he's going to give up and you'll come in. And that's what we've got to watch. Old Satan is going to wrap us with a little cord. Now we know that if he took a string and wrapped around any of us, he couldn't hold us. But if you took a ball of string, a tremendous, and wrapped us, first thing you know, you're bound and you can't move. And here is another way he's going to use. Behold, and behold, others will he flatter away, and telleth them that there is no hell. And he saith unto them, I am no devil, for there is none. A nice way to do it, isn't it? And you know there's people today that claim there is no Satan, there's no devil, there is no hell. Some churches are founded upon this type of thing. But they someday will find out. And when they do, unfortunately, it's going to be too late. And thus he whispereth into their ears, until he grasps them with his awful chains, from whence there's no deliverance. You know, we often speak of the still small voice. When we hear the still small voice, we need to heed it. But then we always need to pray for discernment, that we know where that voice is coming from. If we have used our conscience and have sought the Lord often, it won't take us long to figure it out where it's coming from. Yea, they are grasped with death and hell, and death and hell and the devil, and all that have been seized therewith must stand before the throne of God and be judged according to their works, from whence they must go into that place prepared for them, even a lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. Therefore, woe be unto him that is at ease in Zion. Now, see, that's wherever we're at. In our church, we've got to be careful not to be too much at ease and think that all is well. Woe be unto him that crieth, all is well. Woe be unto him that hearkeneth unto the precepts of men, and denieth the power of God and the gift of the Holy Ghost. We've got to be careful that we're not led astray by these things. Satan works 24 hours a day, and God works 24 hours a day. And if we seek the right help and the right person to help us, I'll guarantee you that Satan is no match for those that we can bring to bear in our behalf. But we have got to continually work that evil one cannot get hold of us. I want to go over here to, in this same chapter, I want to go over into Luke in the 12th chapter. Read a few verses here. This kind of giving a idea of the way a lot of people feel. Many people believe that all is well in Zion and they don't have to do a whole lot. And here's what a pretty good parable in the 12th chapter. I'm going to begin with the 16th verse here. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? He had so much, he had no place to put it. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself, and is not rich toward God. There is a lot more things that's more important than the worldly pleasures that we might seek, or the worldly goods that we think that we have got to have. I'm not going to say there's anything wrong with having a decent living and being able to be pretty comfortable. But if we set our hearts upon riches only, it's not going to be very beneficial for us. If we seek the Lord first, and if we've kept the commandments, he will be there to help us. But the most important thing that he will be there helping us with will be our spiritual lives and how to live our lives and to walk uprightly before him. I want to read a couple of extra verses here in the fifth chapter of Third Nephi. I want to read over here, beginning there at verse 109. Giving us a few directions here, more again what we should do. But when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father who is in secret, and thy Father who is in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's showed here in Luke where that man's heart was and what was going to happen to him. And whether if we sought after riches and got them and we didn't seek to do good with them, whether we would die and lose them all, I don't know whether we would or not. Many people don't. They pass them on generation after generation. But many people lose the point of the whole thing, that they should be seeking after the kingdom of God rather than after the material things of the world. You know, we shouldn't be lifted up in pride. We shouldn't be greedy. And no matter how much money that we have, there's so many things that we cannot buy. We all enjoy our children, and we know that no amount of money in the world could replace them or buy them. We all enjoy our loved ones, and that's something that you can't buy. And it's so much more important to have friends and loved ones round about us than it is to have all the money in the world. I have known several people that were fairly well-to-do, and they weren't very happy. If they could have had the gospel and understood it, they could have had happiness. But I've known people that have sought happiness in many different ways. Have spent more money on entertainment than I'll ever make. And yet they're not happy. And there's one thing of a certainty, no matter how much money they got, they can't buy salvation. They might buy some little happiness they think they've got, but when it comes time for salvation, there's no money that's ever going to even begin to touch it. I want to read a few verses out of Corinthians. I want to start in the 12th chapter. If Marvin would have read just a little farther and continued reading, even though he was reading in the Book of Mormon, he was pretty well touching upon some things that I was going to read this evening. I'm going to begin in the 12th chapter there. I believe I'll go back to probably the 28th verse here. And he's laying a little groundwork here. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And we realize how important all of these things are in the workings of the church. But notice it says here, He has set these things. He has given them. He has put them there. And I have heard recently that some that are going to a church other than our own is going to seminars to learn how to speak in tongues. Rather a frightening thing, isn't it? Totally beyond my comprehension. I believe that if a person needs to speak in tongues and the Lord tells you what he needs you to say, that you're not going to have to do much studying on it. That the Lord is going to put those words in your mouth and that you will speak them if you're a tool in his hand, and they will accomplish what he has in mind for them to do. But we know that we've got to have miracles and gifts and healings and helps and governments and diversities of tongues. And it goes ahead to say, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Now we know that they don't. If we have one of these gifts, I think we're very fortunate. Some person might have them all, I don't know. But it's not everyone that has them. But I don't believe everyone's going to speak in tongues, yet some people believe to receive the Holy Ghost you have to speak in tongues first. I don't hardly believe that. And we know that all the people aren't going to interpret. But it says here in 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And this is some of the similar verses that Marvin read at the close of his sermon today. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Not much value would it be. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Sure tells us a lot we've got to do, doesn't it? And do you think that for a minute that we could do all these things without the help of the Lord? I don't think we could for a minute. But I shall assure you that the least could accomplish these things and have these blessings with the help of the Lord. I want to go over here and read the last verse of this chapter. The 13th verse. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Yet if you took one of them away, faith, hope, or charity, you wouldn't have all of them, would you? And you need all three of these. And there's a lot of other things we need too. It'd be like trying to take one of the Father, the Son, or the Holy Ghost and take it out and say, well, it's not any good anymore, don't need it. And as soon as we've done that, we don't have the whole thing. And as soon as we don't have the whole thing, then we're going to go astray. I want to read a little bit in Thessalonians here. 1 Thessalonians. It hasn't moved in my Bible. There it is. First Thessalonians, 5th chapter, and I want to begin in the 15th verse. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and among all men. Now there is religions in the world that believe that you deal justly with people of your own faith, but it's all right to do anything to anyone else. Now this would take away from that pretty quick, wouldn't it? Follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. I imagine some people kind of hate some prophesying when there's some prophecy, because it might step on their toes. But we're not to despise prophesying. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Now we know we've got to prove all things. And how can you prove it without seeking the Lord? Abstain from the appearance of evil. Something fairly important, isn't it? Abstain from the appearance of evil. So we've got to lead a pretty good life. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're really after, isn't it? We know that Satan desires to enter in and to tear us apart. But we know too that he does not have a chance. We've seen here Sunday afternoon. I guess it was afternoon because it was our service lasted quite a few hours. And we've seen Satan try to enter in. But the power of prayer in this room and the power of God that came into this room, he was unable to accomplish his purpose. And I'll assure you that he was putting forth every ounce of effort that he could muster in his whole being to disrupt our meetings. And he was not able to do it. A lot of our people had prayed beforehand about our reunion. We all prayed during it. And we were able to withstand the evil one. And he was not able to accomplish his purpose. But had we not made some preparations ahead of time, and if there had not been some people with some real faith in this room, he would have done his very best to have disrupted our meeting. But with the power of the Lord in this room that was there, he was not able to. And that same power can be ours to have wherever we're at. We've got to seek the scripture so we know what to do and what it says for us to do and the direction we should be taking day after day. He tells us to repent and be baptized and to seek after him. And when we've done that, he is then obligated to us to help us. And he will do it. He obligates himself to us all the time if we've kept the commandments. And if we have done that, I'll assure you that we have someone on our side that Satan can never, ever match, and he cannot enter in and disrupt us. But if we drop our guard and we don't seek the Lord, and if we don't, like in the 13th chapter, where it mentions about charity, if we don't do those things, we can't expect the Lord to be standing there to help us. But if we do all those things, we know that he's going to be there. It's my prayer that we might always be in such a condition that we can call on the Lord and he will hear our prayers as he did in the past few days of our reunion and in our lives. And we'll have him to be with us if we've kept those commandments.